It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. It's Friday. It is Friday, right? Yep, Friday. Thumbs up from Jet. You know, Friday's good. You know what that means? It means it's Friday. We get to chill. It's always, but the weekends just fill up. You know, every weekend it's always something we got to do, some place we got to go. Tomorrow we have, it's Constitution Day. I think it's a celebration they have across the state here, different things that they do. And we'll be having a table tomorrow night. And, of course, you know, it's a whole bunch of other tables, too. I mean, we have the Revolution will have a table. Freedom's Phoenix will have a table. Camera Fraud will have a table. Campaign for Liberty will have a table. And they got all these tables, and they, all of a sudden you find out that all the activists there are all the same people. You know, the same bent, the same idea. And this has been happening. This is the one thing I want to talk about a little bit today. There has been a very angry criticism from the left that the Ron Paul Revolution people that have been so active over the last couple of years that, you know, the Tea Party started with us. We were out there, and all of a sudden, Fox and Clear Channel ran out in front of the parade and jumped in front of it and said, you know, we tell you what's what. I mean, even Fox News in Washington, D.C., they were saying tens of thousands of people when you're hundreds of thousands, not millions of people. And we have the pictures now. We're starting to put them up, starting to get people that just said, yeah, because, you know, lamestream media, you know, the media sue last century has, you know, little effect. Because sooner or later, you know, people just share what they know. They were there. You know, here's my picture. You know, I was there. And I saw another little PSYOP thing that was interesting. Is somebody put up a picture of... I think it was Promise Keepers when they went. It was after, it was in the 90s. I remember that was a big deal. And Promise Keepers went to Washington, D.C., and one of the pictures showing a big crowd, aerial shot, they put in as this is the Washington, D.C. thing. Well, somebody recognized the picture and go, hey, that's an Oath Keeper thing. I mean, Promise Keepers. That was a Promise Keeper event. You know, see, you guys lie. It's like, oh, don't believe any pictures you see because they lie. And it makes you wonder, you know, somebody just wanted to put up something to show a crowd, you know, or, you know, was it somebody that did it and they go, see, told you they're liars, you know, just a disinformation thing. Kind of. But then you start seeing photos of the actual event and you go, oh, my goodness. And my thing has always been, yeah, I know the people. I've been going through the revolution last couple of years. I see Dr. Paul is going to be somewhere, 24-hour notice, get 5,000 students there. I mean, it's just the most amazing thing I ever saw. And it just boom. And they're all there, and they already knew what was what. And you go, oh, the bad guys are so toast. Well, more people have learned. More people have gotten educated. More people understand the true nature of government. More people know. So they're starting to show up. And the thing is that even Fox and Clear Channel, trying to control this debate, are not able to. They're not able to define what this is because the people are there on their own. They're just trying to label it, and it's not working. So that's what I refer to when I say AstroTurf. Of course they're trying to create this AstroTurf. Left's right on that. Heck, they do it all the time. But what happens when the people just do what they want? And what happens if we go, hey, thanks for giving us a crowd. We needed thousands of people to hand DVDs to. That was very, very nice of y'all. So we'll talk about that more. Because you see what's really happening behind the scenes and who's behind it and who we're going to have as a special guest Monday about it. We'll talk about it in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and what I want to talk about today is, you know, was the D.C. event the Woodstock for conservative? I mean, you know, that's what one of the signs said that. My Woodstock. And you look at all the signs, and you'll see that there was no continuity really other than I'm mad. I mean, the only thing that you saw that was any theme was, you know, I don't like government. And it wasn't directed as much at Obama as you would think. I'm enlightened here. You know, I'm encouraged. Let's see how this turns out, because I know even I make the comment, AstroTurf, 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 it's all AstroTurf. You know, the managed stuff, that how they try and jump in front of the parade and define with all AstroTurf. You know, they go grassroots for fill in the blank. And the grassroots are there with signs, you know, in the Fed. And you don't have these guys, you know, Fox out there saying in the Fed, do you? They'll go, look at all these people are here against the Democrats. We're going to go kick some ass and do and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, really? Is that what they're there for? Really? You know, and you have all these, you know, 2 million people. Heck, man, they're clogged. They're parking cars and buses on the side of the highway and walking in. Literally. And the thing was is that they're trying to say that all these people wanted what? Whatever they say it is that they say they wanted. They just have to convince you that that's what everybody else wanted. You know, maybe you want something else, but everybody else wanted, you know, whatever it was. So I consider that AstroTurf, and that's what I mean. You got people showing up. You know, I've gone to these events. I speak at them all the time. You know, hundreds and thousands of people. And, you know, hell, Lil Prescott. You know, Lil Prescott is, how many people are in Prescott, Jet? Yeah. You know, 50, 60,000, you got 3,000 people at an event? You know, that's like a lot. So, you know, I come on, don't tell me, you know, what you think it is. I was there. And there is you would think that it would be, oh, it's all Republican. No. And that's one thing the left is, when I have them on, I have, you know, a lot of people from the left on the show, and they'll go, well, you know, you let the right take this from you guys. And that was the thing. Brad Friedman, in Brad's blog, he was guest hosting for Mike Malloy on the Progressive Radio, and I was on the show, and he's going, you Ron Paul revolutionaries, you had, this was your thing, this was your, and then you let the right take it over, and you need to break your association with them. You need to stop being supportive. You need to make it clear that you're not part of them or something. And I'm going, whatever gives you the impression that, you know, we go, you know, thank you for bringing tens of thousands of these people. You go pumping it up on the radio, get all these people to come out so that we can show them our signs and give them thousands of DVDs, like the Obama deception, America from Freedom to Fascism, you know, Endgame, you know, 9/11 truth stuff. I mean, can you imagine that? You got a Clear Channel audience. It's probably two-thirds, you know, of their people, if that. I mean, but, you know, the majority, well, I want to say enough, okay? And we're going, thank you. Seriously, when the Obama thing came here and our big AR-15 deal, they're all freaking out. You know what the right, their biggest complaint was? Is that we distracted from their AstroTurf. You know, we wanted to talk about whatever heck it was that they wanted to do. And it's this healthcare thing, and I keep saying this. They're going to get a healthcare bucket, a bucket of money they're going to take from you. I guarantee it. And it's all going to be who gets the money. How is it going to be, you know, allocated? You know, the spigots on the bottom of the bucket, you know, are going to go where? It's just a bank robbery. It's just who gets what cut. They're just a gang with a flag. They're gangs with a flag. Heck, they even got, you know, subdivisions. They got the big gang with the flag, you know, and then they got, you know, like the what do they call those, lieutenants or something. You know, what cut they get. So when you look at it this way, you know, Hitler, he was a bully. He's just a big, giant neighborhood bully. You know, he just, who's going to stop him? You know, and when you look at it at a personal level, you know, they're all just bullies. They're just take it, put a gun to your head, and take it because they can. You know, when they have that kind of power, they will use it. That's why the, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, that's just what happens. So you look at these, you go to the top of Freedom's Phoenix right now, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com, and you'll see an article there, Conservative Woodstock Rocks the Capitol. Protesters flooded Washington today in what people in the crowd are calling a conservative Woodstock. Like the liberal Woodstock of the 60s, thousands were rumored stranded on freeways. Some walked into D.C., ditching their cars and buses. I walked with a five-deep, six-block-long column of protesters from Pennsylvania, I guess Pennsylvania Avenue, who told me they had walked miles from where they were forced by gridlock to leave their buses. Networks including Fox News continued through the time I'm writing this at 8 p.m. I guess he was with a group from Pennsylvania. Local Eastern Time reporting that tens of thousands showed up. What is up with that? When will we get some reliable reporting out of the corporate media types? Update. 2 days later, there is still no conclusive count of the participants. Michelle Malkin's site goes over the whole issue on a post linked at the end of this article. This event, yeah, and she's, you know, one of them. But anyway, this event has been promoted as a taxpayer tea party, but the crowd's concerns were wide-ranging, from outrage at the corrupt Acorn activist and Obama's socialist cadre known as czars to Obama's naked untruthfulness. Protesters also displayed signs mocking Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid for smearing the grassroots movement as astroturfers and an angry mob. Now, I'll give them the astroturf thing when it applies. But you can't call astroturf a couple million people showing up in Washington, D.C. going, no. I'll tell you where the astroturf part is. The astroturf is where they claim grassroots around whatever label they want to put on it. You'll have millions of people out there for whatever network, and then Hannity will get up and say, look at my people. They're here for fill in the blank. You know, is that real grassroots for whatever it is that they say? No, they're making it up. That's where the AstroTurf comes from. But if you look at the signs, and I keep getting more and more pictures coming in, you know, friends and people in the revolution sending, you know, Campaign for Liberty had a bunch of guys, and they sending us all kinds of stuff. And you'll look at the signs. They're handmade. They're varied. They're not like going to a Obama thing where they're all printed out and glossy. Because I remember Ron Paul tried that once, too, when they do their Restore the Republic or different events. They'd have people out there, you know, handing out these nice, one-by-two signs. You know, it's Ron Paul, whatever. Oh, yeah, like at the Iowa Straw Poll. But, you know, even then, they were so outnumbered by the stuff people had made on their own that it just, you know, I mean, it was nice to have, you know, got some official whatever in there, I guess. But I'm all about expressing yourself your own dang way. And whatever, and just wide, wide, wide. You know, one of the signs, a woman holding it says, silence is consent. Can you hear us now? can you hear me now? And then you have a black man sitting on a curb with a bunch of people around. He has a sign, I don't belong to the party of no. I'm with the party of hell no. You know, Obama lied, capitalism died, you know, I am the mob, you know, just all kinds of stuff. You know, this is my Woodstock. Politicians like diapers need to be changed regularly for the same reason. You know, all kinds of redistribute the wealth stuff. Madam Speaker, kiss our astroturf. You know, kiss our astroturf. That's funny. Okay, compassion is voluntary, not compulsory. There you go. That must be a libertarian in there somewhere. Got liberty, patriots on the march. The only thing we have to fear is Obama himself. Stop bankrupting America. Patriots are on the march. And then you had a bunch of different groups from various different places, you know, from, they call them walnuts or whatever, you know, freedomnuts.org, you know, whoever that is. Proud member of the angry mob, and I vote. Liar, liar, country on fire. The picture of Obama. Your wallet is the only place Democrats are willing to drill. Don't share my wealth. Share my work ethic. You know, DHS, you know, Department of Homeland Security, certified right-wing extremist. You know, and has a picture of a gun. Who are the commie czars? Yeah, this czar thing. That's just, you know, well, heck, that started with Bush. You know, and the difference. Impeach Comrade Obama. See, doctors and nurses do not support Obamacare. Marxism, the opiate of the asses, and it has a picture of a donkey. Obama's plan, never mind the cost, and don't read the fine print, I guess. Can you hear us now? Stuff against, capitalism. And, it's not really a whole lot of Obama. There's some Obama. It's just, I think it's a general, patriot three-corner hat, don't tread on me stuff was kind of the theme. And the YouTubes are still going to keep coming. They'll keep coming. This weekend, Pal and I are taking it upon ourselves to kind of, after everything starts to settle out, you get the pictures coming, you get some of the videos, and you just go through and you see, okay, what's the best, most accurate representation of what was going on? And we'll go find it, and then we'll put it up. Because what you put up is what is going to be, of interest. We're gonna make sure that is so you get a good feel for what's going on, not what somebody said about it, what somebody's going to talk about, what they said was going to happen or happened and didn't. And so, what are we going to put up? And we'll accumulate that, and we have different categories that we put this stuff in. Like political politics, political activism, general, and we have different categories that we put this stuff in. So you can go in that category and you go, where are all the events, America? You put all that in there, and then the Google search engines will go and they get a density hit on the stuff that kind of has to do with the same kind of thing. So when you find this and you look at that article in that category, you have all this other stuff like it, and you'll go, oh, and that's why we separate it out that way, because it shows you a trend. You can start to see how this stuff for the last couple of years, you'll go back and look at it and you'll go, oh, it's amping up. We've been keeping track of this. It starts with just a few and then explodes. And everybody starts declaring their independence. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And that's why they call.
Agent 00 Soul, is that what that says? That's why. it's Jet, whatever. What we'll go ahead and do today is I wanted to make sure Jim came in a little bit late, so we'll go ahead and get to him in just a second, but I wanted to finish up on this. Jim Kaiser is a good friend that he was ordered by the court to force medicate his 9-year-old son, and he said no. So what did he do about it? He left. He goes, I'm going somewhere else. You guys can do whatever you want. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. That brings up a whole bunch of issues. And we'll get that in just a second. But I wanted to finish up on the this AstroTurf grassroots versus kind of thing. The left is very sensitive to this creation of theater for whatever, because they are guilty of it all the time. This is politics. It's all about convincing people that there is a concern for. It's called free media. And they got what they call earned media and unearned media. And what they're talking about is that you can go out and you can create a news event and you get a lot of, media. And then you get, relationships with people and you can just do a press release and they'll kind of, follow something. And the media, if it serves the interest of whatever they want, then that's what happens. And I've been in media for a long time. I've been in radio. I've been an activist. I've seen it from the gutter up. I know exactly. I don't think I know. I know exactly how this works. It always comes down to individuals. Individuals that are in positions of influence to have access to broadcasting. There is always a general manager of a station, radio or television, a publisher of a newspaper. They have editors that work underneath them that they give certain free rein until it gets at a, there's always the boss says, okay? Then you have reporters that are hired that serve that direction. If you don't, you're done. I've had reporters over the years, especially in the mid-90s, during a lot of this stuff, they're starting to formulate, what the message was and who's going to be the reporters on it, during the militia stuff, and the people started resisting, and during, a Perot thing that went on, and you had the 94 Republican Revolution, we pinky swear we're going to, reduce government and all this. I saw this happen, and the reporters that were like, this is a good story. Oh, thanks for the exclusion. We're going to, and they'll make it. Sometimes they'll even get on the front page. And they'll go, I go, man, I can't believe you did. I mean, it was a really great article. I go, but you're done. You're going to be covering turnip festivals in Chandler. And then they started covering the ostrich festival. I mean, you think I'm kidding? It's this big thing. All of a sudden, they're not doing politics anymore. They're there, and then they're gone. This happens all the time. I'm going, you know, Derry Matera. He's a columnist and author of a bunch of books in the East Valley Republic. And he's writing all these things back when he was – he goes like this. He goes, you know what my fantasy is about when they first started doing photo radar, you know, I mean on the stoplights. You know, that's when they first started doing that. It was at the stoplights. And he goes, you know, my fantasy involves a pickup truck and a deer rifle. And I know what he was talking about. He's wanting to shoot out the cameras. And I go, oh, you're done. You're gone. Then he started going on about DUI checkpoints. You know, he's a big night guy. You know, he goes out, you know, and has a good time and so on. But he goes through so many checkpoints all the time for DUI stuff, and he just sees it as the beginning of more checkpoints. And he was right. I mean, he was making a big deal out of this. And when they have officers that got caught or city councilmen at the big Phoenix Open golf tournament and so on, and they have city managers at Glendale got caught and they, you know, they didn't get slapped. They didn't even serve any time as mandated by law. And he would really hammer on this double standard thing, and he'd just hammer on them. And I'm going, what'd you think was going to happen? Of course, boom, he's fired. And I'm like, oh, are you stupid? And he didn't think it was going to happen. He goes, no, that's why they want me. Well, he's an author of books anyway, so this is kind of what happened is his wife is a, I think, ethics professor at Arizona State University Law School. So, you know, he knows, or journalism or something like that. Anyway, she's one of the professors there. And that's how he got the gig. And she somehow knew somebody at the paper. Yeah, my husband's a writer, and he started doing regular stuff and became one of their columnists. So he didn't have really any respect for authority anyway, and just waiting for them to fire him. And he used to come on my show every week on Wednesday. We'd have, you know, a show is Ernie versus the communist, you know, and he's really not. He's just one of those populist guys. You know, if I was in charge, I'd rule you better kind of thing. And he didn't realize the principle. I mean, as years go on, I've known him for a decade. And all of a sudden now he's like, yeah, OK, all the stuff you said, I get it, you know. So that's one thing I just want him to understand, because what's happened is you have the media is used to forward an agenda. But if you don't really look at it the right way, if you don't have this libertarian Vulcan mind meld with the man, you know, you don't really understand what it is they're promoting. Got a problem? More government is the solution. It's never less government. It's never deregulating. It's never fewer bureaucrats. It's never less involvement in your personal life. It's never less economic and social engineering. It's always more. No matter how bad this economic crisis gets and everything, you know what we need? More government. We had yesterday up, there was a video of Jim Rogers on CNBC, and they're going, yeah, but Mr. Rogers, don't you think it was, yada, yada, and he's going, you dumb kids. I mean, he's condescending as heck to these guys. He's going, you don't get it, man. This is what caused all this stuff. You had all this regulation. You had 1,000 people regulating Fannie Mae and Jenny Mack and what happened? Freddie Mac. What happened? It's not working, man. Let the free market do it. When we come back, we'll have Jim Kaiser telling you what's a father to do when the man has a gun to your head, what to do with your children. We'll be back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, welcome back to Declare Your Independence on freedomsphoenix.com studios from Phoenix, Arizona show with me, Ernest Hancock. Each and every day, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are in studio with Jim Kaiser. I guess we can say your name now, right?
Yeah, we can call me who I am now.
You know, go ahead and pull the mic right in front of your mouth right there. We're on radio. You got Mick Jagger, man.
Go.
All right. Now, the one thing that I want to make sure that we have an agreement right off is that, one, I would imagine you're limited on how much we can talk about.
I'm very limited at this point.
So, there's a lot of things that are stipulated, you know, as common knowledge, maybe misconceptions that's been in the media and so on. But I'm going to tell the story from my perspective.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And then you can correct me where I'm wrong here. you became involved in the revolution in Freedom's Phoenix, come down the workshop and all this from where? When did that happen?
It was about 2 years ago, I guess. I just started reading about Ron Paul online, Googled him, and found out.
Get real close.
Real close. Just saw what was going on, found the meetup groups, and just started getting involved with everything.
Okay, now why? I mean, you went there. Why didn't you go to join the Obamunists?
Well, I've just been a freedom lover for many years. I've been an activist for many years on about a whole different whole bunch of different stuff, and this just seemed right for me. I was dealing with the issue of homeschooling at the time, and I was in a homeschooling forum, and I found someone said, "Hey, check out this guy Ron Paul. Look and see what he's all about." So I read what he had to say, and I said, "Oh my God, where has this guy been?" And then I started reading everything else about him, and I thought, "This is the guy, man. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get the word out about Ron Paul." So yeah, I joined the meetup group and just became active.
Yeah, so you and millions of other people. Now, the thing is this is common, but a lot of people are freaked out about this. They're going, "Oh no, you must be crazy." He wasn't approved by the corporate media. So there must be something wrong with you. You're not paying attention to the corporate media. You aren't, I want to do this one thing. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I want to preface this. I wrote it down. I didn't get to it. I don't think I got to it yesterday or day before. Prevailing opinion, okay? When they have, it's common knowledge or the norm or whatever that is, if you can alter what is the prevailing opinion in a country or a culture, then you have kind of rules and regulations, social norms and everything that comply with that. You got to have, that's why they call it the prevailing opinion, okay? So what we do at Freedom's Phoenix and what I do, and I've seen, you could sit there and beat up on individuals from the bureaucracies and elected officials and go after the man and do whatever you want. But if you don't do things that change the prevailing opinion, you're just wasting your time.
Absolutely.
You're just adding into their thing. If you do stuff that, so they'll go, "Well, you brought a gun to a whatever and you set us back." Did I? Now let's ask a question. Did we change prevailing opinion about, the exercise of rights and who gets to do where and them understand what law is and isn't? I mean, is prevailing opinion being shifted in a direction that I promote? Then I win. I'm good. That's what I want to do. So prevailing opinion, I'm seeing the court of public opinion. That's where the battle is. All the other stuff follows that, okay? Votes follow that. Candidates follow that. Politicians are not leaders. They're followers. They're out there putting their finger in the wind all the time.
Sure.
Even libertarian
sure.
candidates. Most of them, they do the same thing. What's going to make me look good, sound good? My mother-in-law like me more. How am I going to do it? They call them country club libertarians, all right? Because they're so worried about prevailing opinion and adapting themselves to that as opposed to changing prevailing opinion. So it just dawned on me. It was a couple of days ago. I'm sitting there going, it's prevailing. Oh, prevailing opinion. I've heard that before. It's what is, kind of locked in as the, this is our culture. So we try and change that. Now, what happened was, here Jim Kaiser, he's interested in homeschooling. He's kind of, bucking prevailing opinion already, checking out some stuff. He belongs talking to some people. They go, "Hey, check this guy out, Ron Paul." And this is what we knew. The reason we started the revolution and we knew what was going to happen was because we knew how hungry people were for this clean message. Now, it's very simple. It's not that complicated. There are those who won't be left alone, those who won't leave them alone. I mean, it's really not a hard sell. So here's Jim. He's doing it. So then we open up Freedom's Phoenix Workshop. You've been involved making signs and
sure,
helping where you could, doing all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's time. We're opening up the workshop. We had a bunch of probably 50 people came down here when it was all vacant. Before we signed a lease, I go, "Look, just want everybody to know, from this post on up here, that's all mine, okay? About a third of it, do the studios and all that kind of stuff. Rest of it, you guys knock yourself out, man. You can do whatever you want." And so we're going to do this. It's going to start then, you know, in January. We're going to, you know, extend, have it through November 2010 through the next election cycle. We're going to this and that, start the radio show. We're going to, you know, there's a plan of what we're going to do. Part of that plan was the video studio needed to have a set and have a nice desk and platform and all that kind of stuff. Well, what's your skills?
I'm a carpenter. I own the cabinet shop. I do custom cabinetry.
So you go, hey, you know, I can build your desk. And we go, yes, you can. What do you need? So he'd give me a list of materials that I needed or go buy stuff, and I'd reimburse him on receipts or whatever. So spare time, you were down here working on the set. You know, it probably took, you know, a couple of months. I mean, we were in no big giant hurry.
Sure, hour just, here, hour there, over a couple of months.
You know, we just, you know, heck, we didn't even know what we wanted, you know, as we were doing it. I mean, we were thinking, and we wish we'd cut the stage about 3 inches shorter so we could get it out the double doors if everyone leaves without having to take it apart. But anyway, so this is what you did. We have nice wood floor on this, nice veneer, walnut, lighted cab. I mean, people that go to Freedom's Phoenix TV and you just see some of the set. We haven't really used it a lot yet. You know, a lot of guys do their YouTubes from there, and we do interviews and stuff. We don't have like a regular show like we do the radio yet. We're getting to that. There's software things. We're dealing with the site and so on. It's developing. We're just keep evolving. It keeps getting better and more capacity. Well, Jim was a major part in the construction of a lot of the stuff that was here. You know, I was working on the walls in here, building studio and everything while you're doing fine little stuff over there. And on the weekends when you had custody, you know, shared custody with your ex-wife of your son, Ben, a 9-year-old boy, when, you know, part of the day you'd take and spend the weekend down here just to see everybody, you know, be along with the buzz, show them what you're doing. Everybody got to know Ben.
Sure. He loved it down here. He loved, you know, helping out with this and coming down, painting signs and doing his thing. And
pushing buttons.
Pushing buttons.
I want to push the button. Let me push the button. You know, 9-year-old boy and you got lighted buttons. Yeah, they're going to be, you got to go. I go, Ben, okay, look, chill. No pushing the buttons. You want to go over there? We go walk, we can play and push buttons. But, you know to do this. I have two sons. 9-year-old kids want to push freaking buttons. I did.
Absolutely.
You know? But when you got a button-pushing kid and you're, you know, a mom with one child, you know, that's not necessarily, you know,
it's not a good thing.
That's not what she wants, okay?
No.
So tell me about the relationship. Yeah, I don't care about, you know, I don't even know why you and your ex-wife split, and so I don't care. But you have a son, 9-year-old son, your shared custody of this young man, and he's a great kid. I mean, everybody loved him. And you could tell when you first got him for your weekend visit or whatever, and by the end of the weekend, how he'd change. I mean,
sure,
you know, just getting off the drugs for a day, you know, would make a difference.
Big time.
And it probably kept him sane, you know, by having to have these breaks or something, you know.
That's what I thought, every other weekend of off the drugs. Sure.
And so when he come down, tell me, oftentimes you didn't spend a lot of time here when he was here. You'd come spend half a day or something like that.
Right. No, I never brought him down here for more than 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Yeah, because you know?
when
9-year-old kids don't want to be hanging out.
When it stopped being fun to him, then we'd go.
And I want to give people a picture of this. You have a father, loves his son, gets a limited amount of time with him. He, you know, they go places, they do things, they stop by. He gets entertained. We let him help, you know, teach him how to do here's a hammer and whatever. And he was learning stuff. Now he was having a good time. He's such a cute kid too, and I like to see him again. That's another thing. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. So then you're down here, and then something started to come up. You know, we could tell that something was bothering you and so on, and you'd talk about it. What was your concern?
Well, I had a custody case coming up, and I was absolutely 100% certain that I was going to be losing custody because I've been totally defiant with the court from the moment they started forcing me to put him on these drugs.
Well, tell me about that. How did he wind up taking drugs anyway?
Well, then it goes way back. I mean, since before he entered kindergarten, you know, I tried to talk to his mom. I said, you know, Ben's not going to make it in the public school system. I could just see his personality. I see how he is. It was real easy to define, you know, what he was all about because he was exactly like me. And I knew all the problems that I had. And I could see Ben was going to have those same problems. He's got his own mind. He's got his own way of thinking. And he doesn't do things like the Doesn't do things normally like all the other kids, you know.
He seemed a normal kid to me, though.
I mean, he's far more creative, enthusiastic, outgoing than most kids, and he's. But that's how I raised my son.
When I looked at him, I mean, that was something that we. Well, that's also why we took him out of public school. But you know, that's something that we encouraged.
Absolutely.
I mean, we wanted sons like that.
Absolutely, but the public school system certainly doesn't want that. They don't want kids that are able to think for themselves. They want kids that are able to sit down, sit still. Still listen to the teacher. Well, I didn't raise him like that. That's just not the way he's wired. He's very creative, always wants to know what's going on, wants to learn, loves to learn, but loves to figure stuff out on his own.
So you have this kid that's he's not going to be a seat setter. In the back room, quiet, kind of, he's like, oh, I just realized you're boring and I got legs. So he walks off,
Exactly.
So you get divorced. How old was Ben?
We were never actually married.
Okay, so how old was Ben when you guys separated?
We actually separated before he was born, and we've shared custody from day one up until he was 7 years old.
Wow, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have up till seven. What happened at seven?
At seven is when she put him on the drugs.
Why?
He just wouldn't sit still at school, wouldn't listen to the teachers. Now, it was real interesting because, when he started having problems at school, I decided,
define a problem.
Well, what they call problems. Doesn't sit still, doesn't listen to the teacher, tapping his pencil on his desk all the time. That was his first grade teacher's big concern. He's always just tapping his pencil on his desk.
He's bored.
Nervous and fidgety and that sort of thing. Well, I tried to convince everybody the solution isn't to try to change Ben to fit the system. Let's find a system that fits Ben. So I pulled him out of school and started homeschooling him and just designed a learning environment that was just catered just to him where he thrived. He just absolutely thrived. He loved every minute of it. He was learning. He was having fun. Well, it became a problem because he's spending half the time at the public school system and half the time being homeschooled. And his teachers used to tell us, it's really sad. Ben's the smartest kid in the class, and he's only here half the time. Just think, if he was here all the time.
He wouldn't be the smartest kid anymore.
that was the thought. Do you think he's the smartest kid in the class?
I wonder why, in spite
of the fact that he's missing school or because of the fact? So... Yeah. Now, when he in the first grade, she was having all these problems with him at school, and on my end, I had the problems fixed. Her solution was to take him to a psychiatrist, have him diagnosed with ADHD, and put on drugs. Now, these drugs just wiped him out. It turned him into a totally different kid.
That was her intent.
Sure. And the schools loved it. I'll tell you what, the schools loved it. They, you got the kid that wouldn't listen, wouldn't pay attention. Now he's, now he's the kid that sits there and looks straight forward at the teacher and pays attention and appears to be learning. That's all that they want. They don't care that they're actually learning. They care that they're sitting still and they can keep him under control.
I
care that he's learning.
We got just enough time in this segment for me to tell a story, and I want to see why I'm so empathetic to your situation. My kids are right now 19 to 24, 20, 24. They're like 4 years apart. So they were within 5 years of each other, because their birthdays and so on. So I have one in, kindergarten, first, second, third, that kind of thing. Well, by the time my second oldest, my son Forrest, was in, it had to be probably the second grade, I think. So our youngest had just started kindergarten, I think. What happened was... he didn't bring his homework to school one day, and I saw it there. And I go, hey, man, he came home, so I'm making a big deal out of it. Hey, you didn't take your homework? You got to do your homework. Take your homework. The school day's over. And I go, the teacher might still be there. You can get half credit. Oh, my God, it's the most important thing in the world. You got to turn in your homework. So I call the school. The teacher happened to be there, and because he had said, well, I don't need to, I already made my day. And I'm like, made your day? What the heck is that? Make your day. What it was is they had this BS campaign that they were selling to the parents that they had A-rated schools. Or is your school an A-rated school? It's just one more, reform kind of thing to keep the people shut up or making changes. So you get 1 or 2 years of, distraction while their kids move on to whatever. I mean, it's just another distraction thing and give us more money. What they did is if you had 90% of your kids that make their day, whatever that criteria is, then you are considered an A-plus school. Then, of course, they wanted to get all their schools to be A-plus and all that kind of stuff. So it had things to do like attendance, you know, behavior, kind of, you know, but it really didn't have anything to do with academics. You don't violate another child's self-esteem, that kind of crap,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So what happened was, he goes, I made my day. And I'm like, make your day? What the heck? So I call the school. The teacher happened to still be there in teacher's lounge. She gets on with me. And I said, my lion snot little kid here is telling me that he made his day and didn't turn in his homework. Is that true? Well, yeah. Force is a good kid. And I'm going, really? You can make your day and not turn in your homework. Okay, pray tell, explain this to me. Because I already knew, you know, Forrest, you know, he's a smart kid. He's, you know, he's gaming the system. So she explained to me that making your day, it was something like this. It's like you start the day with 50 points, okay? If you go below 40 points, you don't make your day. You got to get your little gold star kind of crap. So I'm going, okay, so what is it that loses that 10? Oh, man, if you violate another child's self-esteem, make them feel bad or bully or something, boy, that's 10, 12 points, 8 points, whatever. You know, man, that's a biggie. If you don't turn in your homework, and there's a bunch of stuff like that, late, you know, can't snap your pants, have to go to the bathroom, something. I mean, there's always a little something. So what happened was, if you didn't turn in your homework, you lost 3 points. Okay, well, if you relatively sit in the back of the class and shut up and just sit there and stare at the teacher, you can make your day every day.
Sure.
You know, but if you don't do it the second day in a row, then you lose, like, I don't know, 8 or 10 or whatever. You're not going to make your day if you do it 2 days in a row. So what did my son figure out? He only has to do homework on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Sure, sure.
And I'm going, you little... So did I blame him for being stupid? He's like, well, that's how the system works. Well, of course that's what I'm going to do. Dummy, dad, you know? Wouldn't that be what you would do kind of thing?
Absolutely. Get and through I'm going, the least amount of effort.
So I'm talking to the teacher about it. I go, so let me get this straight. My son has figured out that he only needs to do homework on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he's fine, right? Well, yeah, you know, we encourage that they, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, I'm good. I get it. I understand. Now, I'm not going to fight this. You know, I'm good. I understand. End of that year, it was like 3 weeks left in the year. We pulled them, all four of our kids, out of public school.
Cool.
And we homeschooled that next year.
Cool.
Then we went to charter, and then we went to private school. And I'm telling you, it is the best thing we ever did. So I know what they're doing in there. And it is child abuse.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it more when we come back. And the rest of Jim's story here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Saddle again on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and Jim Kaiser, my friend and ally against the state. You know, are you an enemy of the state now?
You know, anything I say can and will be used against me in a court of law. So
and, oh, at, yeah, at this, you're, and this is point. Archived, so be careful, man. You know, the one thing that, you know, I want to equate this to is we'll get into it. I mean, you know, this forced drugging of children is just, you know, because we're the state and we know better. Now, there's a mother involved here, too.
Sure.
You know, so you have I'll tell you one thing that I did. There's a gentleman named Glenn Sachs. He's all about father's rights. And you had talked to him, and I called him, and we talked about this, you know, what to do, what to do, what to do. And after you had been apprehended in Florida, and now you're back here, and now we get to have a trial. You know, we're going to have some fun. We kind of, you know, but what's a father to do? I mean, you get to the point to where, okay, you turn over your son to the man, and he starts sticking needles in him. And I'm like, wow, I mean, where does this go? Now, Glenn, he is of the mind, he's on the other side oftentimes, where it's the mother that will take a child and leave. They're, you know, it's bad. I'm the mother, and gosh darn it, you know, she's the one that doesn't want to have the vaccinations that dad wants or something.
Sure.
You know, he's wanting to give him testosterone at 10 and turn him into a football player or, you know, whatever. And she's like, no, and same kind of thing. Boom, she's gone. Well, you're really always in, you know, generally the court of public opinion anyway. That's where it's going to get decided. And I don't care what the judge says. I mean, you may. But, you know, my thing is, you know, this is happening all over. We need to make sure we follow this. And the end result will be the end result. But I'm sure that has a big effect on you. But from our standpoint, I want to make sure Ben gets to have a voice. He's represented in some way. You know,
absolutely.
And you are. Well, Glenn, his whole, Glenn Sachs, as a father's rights advocate, his thing is, I can't get involved or talk to Jim or have any opinion about this the second that he took and abducted, okay, would be the word he'd use if it was a mom, someone else's child and went across state lines and took that child. I'm done. I can't, you know, I'm, you got to, because he's in the system because he can't be seen as hypocritical. He's all over when women do this. It's just, oh, it's a double standard. And what happens when the guys do it and they come out and da, 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 back and forth. So this is, man, this is a hot potato for him. So he's not going to touch it. All right. Because you're doing exactly what they're complaining about when the women do it.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going, all right. So now we got to go. We got to have a discussion on this. How's this going to work? You, go through the process. You pull your child out of school when you have them, you know. So I guess you were sharing half time with them or something, or
right. We had joint custody,
which means what?
She had him half the time. I had him half.
Well,
the time.
Half of what time? I mean, every other week or what?
Well, no, we had a schedule where we each had him 5 days 1 week and 2 days the next week.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It worked out well.
Okay, so then that changed. Why?
That changed when she started to drug him. I said, no, absolutely not. Tried to fight it in court, and the court took custody away from me.
Total, or did you get him at
well,
all?
No, they warned me first. They said, you know, basically drug him or you're going to lose him. And I said, no, that's not your call. That's my call. So I didn't drug him. I pulled him out of school, made sure he wasn't drugged, and they took custody away from me. Since I wouldn't give him drugs, they decided that I needed to have supervised visitation. I could only see him on the weekends.
Go ahead.
You know, for a couple hours every weekend. Supervised. There's a program here where you pay $50 an hour to go sit in a little 12x12 room and, you know, talk to your kid for a couple hours at a time and with someone taking notes that they send back to the judge and, you know, tell them everything you've been talking about.
Oh, so. When we come back, we want to get more details about how this was done. We'll be back here in just a short break here, just a minute, and we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, just a little bit.